10 games to talk about, lots to talk about. I'm on a minutes restriction. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Got something loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am Adam King. Follow me on Twitter at AdamKing91. Follow us at FBI Basketball. We are also part of the Old Man Squad. Follow them on Twitter at Old Man Squad. Wednesday post-game show, a lot to talk about. As I said, I am on a minutes restriction. I need to go and pick up my daughter. So let's bring up the box scores. We did have 10 games, so a lot more to talk about. I'm going to try and do it in 40 minutes, but we'll see how we go. We'll just touch on some quick injury news. So we did have a fairly significant injury to DeJounte Murray today. Fractured hand has been confirmed. Look, I'm thinking a month at least. I mean, we've got a fairly recent comparison. Isaiah Hartenstein also fractured his hand and was ruled out for 4 to 6 weeks. So we are looking at a month minimum, which, I mean, you 3 to 4 games a week. We're looking at maybe 20 games, quarter of the season for DeJounte, which is a blow if you took him in drafts. But yes, he is going to miss time. Emmanuel quickly left today's game, only played about 15 minutes, I think, with a pelvic contusion. So it does sound like it was more of a precautionary absence, but we'll see when the injury report comes out for their next game. Jonathan Isaac, hip. I mean, he's always injured, but yeah, hip injury, hopefully not too serious, and it did come very late in the game. So if you drafted him, I have released my read and react for tonight, but if you did draft Isaac, just hold him. I mean, he had two steals and a block in his limited minutes. So, yeah, look, hold him if you can. It is early in the season. We don't want to be panicking. James Wiseman, obviously potentially a fairly significant injury. It looked like I was watching that game live when it happened. I mean, if we're basing this on what we've seen and what we know about Achilles injuries, it did look like an Achilles injury, but there's no word yet whether it's a calf or an Achilles. If we remember back to when Karl Anthony Towns did his calf and missed, what did he missed like 3 months, 2.5 months. It looked very similar. So he sort of grabbed for that area of his body, the lower leg, and turned around like someone had hit him or kicked him or something. And there was obviously no one even close to him. So we will see what the results of the MRI tell us. Not really fantasy relevant other than Isaiah Jackson, when healthy, will be the only backup to Miles Turner. So maybe he gets a small bump. No other significant injuries, I don't think. Brandon Miller, he also left the game. But again, hopefully it was a hip as well. So weird hip injuries today, but hopefully nothing too serious. But let's get into the games. So first game of the night, Pacers at Detroit. Pacers end up with the win, but it was a good game. It was a good effort, I thought, from Detroit. Far better than what we saw from them last season. They kept this close until sort of the last couple of minutes. So for the Pacers, usual suspects, as I said, Miles Turner, 36 minutes. We'd love to see that every night, but typically we won't. Although, I mean, if Wiseman and Jackson are out in the next game, then we probably do. So small bump for him. Yeah, Siakam fine, Halliburton fine, Nesmith and Nembhard. Look, they're borderline guys. I guess they're going to play big minutes. I thought McConnell looked really good during his 14 minutes, but I'd love to see him getting closer to 20. I'm not sure whether we will. And I thought Mathurin looked pretty good in his 19 minutes too, if you drafted him. For his scoring, this is a really good start. So hold on to him, but we have seen pretty inconsistent performances from him in the past. Let's go to the Pistons side of things. And yeah, look, pretty much as advertised here, I think. Tobias Harris looked pretty good in his first game. The stats wouldn't reflect, I think, the impact that he had just on the team. I think freeing up some of those other guys, bit of leadership. So yeah, I thought he filled that role really nicely. Jalen Duren, 13 and 13. I thought he was going to get 20 rebounds here. He had seven or eight really early. And obviously slowed down a bit. Didn't get any defensive stats, and that's really what we're looking for from him. Everything else is fine. 4 of 4 from the field, 5 of 6 from the line. So everything we wanted to see here, except for the defense. Cade Cunningham looked really good as well offensively. He led the team with 28 points, 8 assists, and a steal. So, yeah, look, I mean, as long as he's healthy, he's going to be a really good fantasy asset. Jaden Ivey looked pretty good as well. Malik Beasley and Tim Hardaway are probably the two other guys that we're talking about in terms of fantasy relevance. And I think they're just going to alternate based on who's got the hot hand. So both of them tonight had 14 points, hit some threes, didn't do much else. And I think that's what you're going to get from them for the season. So that's where we are. Brooklyn and Atlanta. Another pretty good game. Ben Simmons, I'll start with him. He had some foul issues, only played 24 minutes, but I thought he looked okay on the court. Still pretty passive offensively, and I don't think that's going to change. Only 6 points, but he did have 8 assists and 5 rebounds with 1 block. So that's, if you drafted him, that's why you drafted him. He's going to get you assists, he's going to get you rebounds and some defensive stuff. Did have some turnover issues, 6 of them, not ideal, but look, he's working his way back into a permanent role in the NBA. So Cam Johnson did enough. I think he ended with 14 points and a steal and a block, excuse me. I thought he looked okay. He was someone we were sort of saying was worthwhile grabbing after pick 100, 120, and I think this is it's a good start. It gives me encouraging signs, I think, for me that he will be able to put together a good season. Cam Thomas got hot really late. I think he had 20 in the last quarter. I think it probably bumped up what was more of an average night to an above average night, ended with 36 points. For me, the 3 steals are intriguing. I don't think he's going to get us 3 every night, but if he can get to 1 steal, 3 or 4 assists, he's going to be good from the free throw line. Field goal percentage, he was really good because he got hot late. So I think if you drafted Cam Thomas, you have to be thrilled with what he gave us here tonight. Claxton came off the bench. He was working his way back into the lineup, so I wouldn't worry too much. And he also got ejected for an interesting play, let's say, on Dyson Daniels. And let's move over to Atlanta. And I will start with Dyson Daniels. As I said, I'm going to try not to talk too long about him. But anyone who listens to my stuff knows that I was taking him everywhere. I actually checked. I have him in 8 leagues this year. And I'm pretty happy with what we saw today. If we work our way across and start at the top, 34 minutes, 34 and a half minutes, alongside Trey, they seem to have good chemistry. I think Trey really appreciates having Dyson on the floor, a strong defensive wing player. So he had 5 steals. He had a block. We know he's going to get steals and blocks. He had 5 rebounds, only 2 assists. So another couple of assists would be nice. But the 15 points are probably more than I expected, to be honest. I think he's going to be closer to 12. But he hit 2 threes. The free throw is a bit of an issue, and we did know that coming in. But based on what we saw here, I think he needs to be rostered. I think hopefully people will agree with what I was sort of saying in the preseason. And it is only a small sample size, but I'm going to gloat while I can. Trey Young, really good, 30 and 12. Clint Capella started but only played 20 minutes. Onyeka Okongwu looked far more impactful off the bench. Obviously, he won't go 11 of 12 too often, but a lot of those were dunks. And with Trey, with Dyson Daniels, with Jalen Johnson handling the ball a bit more, I do think Okongwu will either start or he will play starters minutes like we saw here more often than not. So, yeah, really good to see Okongwu there. Jalen Johnson, as for him, he was he was really good defensively, a little bit passive offensively, but 11 and 10 with three steals and a block. Six turnovers, not ideal, but first game of the season, so we just run with what we have. Orlando and Miami. Yeah, look, fairly comfortable win for the Magic here. Miami were pretty average. Banchero looked good. Free throws, the percentages are sort of the question mark for him, and I thought he looked good. He was a plus 42, so that will tell you a lot about the game in his 31 minutes. Franz Wagner, only 23 minutes. Jalen Suggs only played 12. And, yeah, look, minutes were all over the place here. KCP, I don't think we need to roster him. He did have some defensive stuff, but, yeah, I'm not convinced he's going to be a sort of a sustainable guy. And not much else there except for Jonathan Isaac, who, as I said, left the game, but he did have one steal and two blocks. Over to the Miami side, and with the game such a blowout, we had three of the five starters played 26 minutes or fewer. Jimmy Butler looked pretty bad. Bam didn't do a lot. I mean, I don't even need to read their stats. They were just average. I thought Terry Rozier looked pretty good. We had some question marks given what we saw down the stretch last year, but I thought he was probably their best player from watching the condensed game and the highlights and reading through some reports. He had 19 points with six rebounds, five assists and two blocks. We're not going to get two blocks every night, but we might get two steals. So good effort by him. Khalil Ware played garbage time only, which was a bit disappointing. They played Thomas Bryant 16 minutes. If you drafted Khalil Ware, I would try and hold him because I'm hopeful, not confident, but I'm hopeful that they will realize that he should be on the floor, not Thomas Bryant as the backup. The Bucks and the Sixers, relatively easy win here for the Bucks. 124-109. Look, I mean, the Bucks are arguably the most boring team in fantasy. Lillard, Giannis, we know what they're going to do. They were both really good here. And then outside of them, I mean, with no Middleton, I think Trent gets a bit of a bump. He had 11 points with two threes, but that's really all you're going to get from him when he doesn't get you steals, which he didn't here. He had 11 points, two rebounds, nothing else. So there is some value, but it's pretty limited. Brook Lopez played 36 minutes for some reason, 10 points, eight rebounds. Eight rebounds is about a week's worth for him. So have to be happy with that, and six assists and six blocks. And that's why you drafted him. So very happy with the six blocks. Don't go and add Taurean Prince unless they've got a favorable schedule. But yeah, look, we know who he is. This was a pretty easy matchup given they were playing the Sixers who were without Embiid and Paul George. And let's move over to the Sixers side of things. Drummond started as expected. Look, I think he was serviceable. Five fouls, so some issues there. 10 points, 13 rebounds, nothing else. We'd like some defensive stuff. So I don't know. I think it's okay. You're obviously going to hold him because we know that Embiid's going to miss a handful of games here and more throughout the season. So we would hope for a bit more, but this is okay. Eric Gordon started and did nothing as expected. Kelly Oubre had 21 points and very little else. And if you drafted him, that's what you drafted him for, points. Some threes, his free throws, he was 4 of 6, which it's not a disaster, but it's certainly not ideal. KJ Martin started, but I think if we wanted to look at a bit of a flyer here, it's probably Caleb Martin, who played 37 minutes. He had 12 and 9 with three assists and a block. Very limited his ceiling. We've seen before from both the Martin brothers that they, when they're given minutes, they can do stuff, but it's not exciting. So if you wanted to pick them up, sure. But yeah, honestly, I'm not bothering anywhere. Another blowout victory, Cleveland over Toronto. Toronto, another team that looked really bad for the Cavs. They didn't really have to exert themselves too much. Evan Mobley, following on from a strong preseason, he looked really engaged on both ends of the floor with 25 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks. Perfect from the free throw line. So both he and Donovan Mitchell were at plus 31. So as I said, very comfortable victory. So if you drafted Mobley, very happy with what he did. Jarrett Allen had four blocks. You're not always going to get seven blocks out of those two guys. So I think part of this was the matchup. And Darius Garland had foul trouble in this one, so only played 23 minutes. So don't worry too much about that. Caris LeVert, who we probably want to go and add with Max Strus out for 6 weeks, had 19 points and four assists, and that's what he does. Someone I just mentioned in my read and react, just keep an eye on Ty Jerome in deeper leagues. He did play 14 minutes here, sort of as that backup, I suppose, to Garland in some degree. But standard leagues, certainly not. For Toronto, Emmanuel quickly said he only played 14 minutes. But he looked good when he was out there. 13 points, four assists, a steal. So hopefully this injury isn't anything too serious, but do keep an eye on the injury report. Jakob Poeltl, not his best game by any means. 6 points, nine rebounds, zero blocks. When he gets zero blocks, he's useless, really. The rebounds are handy, but you're really drafting him for the blocks. And two of six from the field is not what we want from him. Grady Dick had 16 points. Hopefully he was drafted in most leagues. If he wasn't, I would probably go and add him because I think he's going to play starters minutes and he's going to score. Scotty Barnes will be better than this. Quickly will play more. Barrett will come back. So there will be some limitations for Dick, but I think he's worth grabbing. No pun intended there. And Scotty Barnes, rough night, but we move on. And don't look at any of these guys on the bench like Chris Boucher, Davion Mitchell. We don't need to consider any of them. On to the next game. How are we going for time? 20 minutes, and I guess we're about halfway through, are we? Let me double check. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, look, we're close. We're going okay. Chicago and New Orleans. It was close for a while. Pelicans ended up pulling away, and it was somewhat convincing for the Bulls. Josh Giddey, I thought, looked okay. I won't say he was great, but I won't say he was terrible. 14 points, five rebounds, three assists. So I think for a first game with a new team, I think we're happy with that. Vooch did his thing. Patrick Williams looks bad. I don't know how long they'll continue to start him when they've got far more upside on the bench. Zach LaVine looked really good in his first regular season game in quite a while. The seven turnovers, not ideal again, but 27 points with five rebounds and three assists. Take that any day of the week. Off the bench, like I mentioned, Lonzo played 14 minutes. He had 5 points, four assists. Great to see him back. I didn't draft him. If you did draft him, I really wouldn't expect much more than this because they've already said he's going to be limited to about 15 minutes per game and he's not going to play back-to-back. So, yeah, it's a feel-good story, but that I don't think he's going to translate to significant fantasy value. Ayo Dosunmu played 25 minutes, only 8, 4, and 3, but he is someone I would be holding for a little bit longer in standard leagues. Or slightly deeper leagues, 14-team leagues. And same goes for Jalen Smith. He had 15 and 5 with a steal in his 17 minutes. On to the Pelicans. DeJounte, as I said, he's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks. He played basically a full workload. He had 30 minutes and looked pretty good. I mean, he flirted with a triple-double, had a steal. Shot wasn't falling, but with a broken hand, that happens. So no DeJounte for the next 4 to 6 weeks. Herb Jones. So I had some people sort of messaging saying, well, what's this whole Herb Jones starting at center thing? It doesn't look like it's happening. Zion was out. So that was basically they just had to get some size on the floor here. So Daniel Tice started. And if we look ahead to the next game, Zion could be back because he was only out due to an illness. But with DeJounte out, they're probably just going to have to run with a more traditional center, I think, unless they opt to move like a Jordan Hawkins into the starting lineup, which I potentially they might, but I don't think they will. So I would look for Tice to probably continue starting, given they won this one. As for Tice, I thought he looked okay in his 19 minutes, 8 points, 2 rebounds, but the defensive stuff there, 2 steals, 3 blocks. He's not really going to play more than 20 minutes, if we're being honest. Eve Missy was probably the player we want to talk about a little bit more. He had 12 and 7 with a steal and 3 blocks in 23 minutes. I don't know. I wouldn't be running to add him, I don't think, but I would certainly keep an eye on his minutes if he's going to play 23, 24 minutes a night. Coming off the bench, then he does have some upside. But, yeah, whether that's enough to entice you to pick him up in a standard league, that's really your call. Brandon Ingram looked really good, 33, 7, 2 assists, 2 steals and a block. Could very well be his best game for the next month. So let's see. I guess you could float out a trade if you wanted, if you've got Ingram and you want to try and offload him for a top 30 player or a top 40 player. Because once Zion's back and then DeJounte healthy will come back at some point. So yeah, if he either try now or in a, maybe he has a really strong week. Jordan Hawkins, 13 points, 3 threes. He could be a nice streaming option while DeJounte is out as well. Charlotte and Houston, another pretty good game. Fun. I think I talked about this on yesterday's show as one of the games I wanted to keep an eye on, and it didn't disappoint. Probably a little lower scoring than what we expected, 110 to 105. In this one, Charlotte get the win after trailing early. They were down by 17, I want to say, in the second quarter. Pulled it back at halftime to about 12 and then sort of pushed through in the third quarter to level things up and ran away with it at the end. For the Hornets, LaMelo Ball looked really good. A little bit slow to get going, but once he got going, he really took over there. 34 points, 11 assists, 8 rebounds, a steal and a block. 4 of 12 from 3 and 10 of 10 from the line. So this is why I was comfortable taking him on the turn or as early in the second round as I can get him, because he has that first round upside. So it's really all about health for him. Nick Richards started with Mark Williams out, had 6 and 8 with 2 blocks. And that's about what you would expect from him. Ideally we'd like to see maybe 10 and 10 with 2 blocks, but pretty much on par with what we were expecting here. So if you did pick him up, I would hold him until Mark Williams is back. Brandon Miller had that injury, as I said. If he misses time here, I don't think this is a clear pickup, but Trey Mann ended with 24 points and he played down the stretch. So he is probably the guy, if he's available, I would go and grab him. He was being drafted in quite a few leagues, though, as we got closer to opening night, I think. People were leaning into him as probably their primary sixth man, and I think that's what we saw tonight. Seth Curry played meaningful minutes, but he's really just a three-point streamer, nothing more. For Houston, Şengün, he got going early in this one. He had a double-double in the first quarter, ended with 25 and 18, 5 assists, 4 steals, a block. 3 of 4 from the line of 10 of 22 from the field, including 2 threes, so 2 of 3. So good to see him stretching the floor a little bit there. But Şengün, we know he was going in the second round in a lot of drafts, and this is why. Jalen Green looked really good, picked up where he left off last year. 14 points for Van Fleet. It's not a lot, but it's about what we get from him. The 4 of 18 from the field is rough, but again, we're used to that when it comes to Freddie. But he did have the 2 steals. He did have the 6 assists. Jabari Smith, I'm a little bit worried. I'm not sure where the shots are coming from for him. He ended up with 8 points, 5 rebounds, a block. He might struggle to be a top 100 player. I'm not sure. It's only one game, so I'm definitely not panicking, but yeah, it didn't look great. So let's see how he goes in the next game. Off the bench, as we know, they're one of the more deeper teams. Amen Thompson, I thought he looked really good when he was on the floor, but only played 22 minutes. So I'd love to see that push up to 25. But with the guys they've got on the floor there, and they were really pushing to win this one, down the stretch. So I would certainly hold him. I'll hold him. I drafted him in a few spots. He ended up with 13 and 4 and a block. Reed Shepherd played 16 minutes. Not a lot from him. Not a standard league player, really, nor is Tari Eason, who had 2 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals in 13 minutes. Jock Landale had 10 minutes, but he played because Stephen Adams was out. Memphis and Utah. Grizzlies, healthy, well, except for Jaren Jackson, obviously, and with him out, Santi Aldama had his monthly blow-up game, 27 points on 10 of 16 shooting, including 5 of 10 from the line. Look, if you want to add him while Jackson's out, that's fine, but we saw this last year from Aldama. He will have one or two games where he will blow up and then he will just do nothing. And remember, if you pick him up, you don't get this game, you get the next game. So if you want to, fine. I'm not convinced this will be a sustainable sort of thing for him, but we will see. Marcus Smart, he's rosterable, but as I thought, he's just not going to be a priority offensively. He got a couple of baskets late, ended with 11 points. One steal, you'd like to see that, maybe two or three, but Zach Edey had early foul trouble. So he did foul out. He had 6 fouls. And he picked these up really early. So he only played 15 minutes. He ended with 5 and 5. So probably about the worst start you could imagine or expect for him. Hold him, don't drop him. But do keep an eye on people panicking. I said that in my, what did I say it in? I said it in something, whether it was my read and react or watch and learn, but don't overreact to these games. But it is an opportunity. Keep an eye on waivers. Keep an eye for trade offers because it is a period of the season when you can potentially pick up some difference makers because their managers are panicking. Onto the Utah side. And look, Utah kept this close. So it did look like Memphis were going to pull away at times, but Utah stuck around and ended up losing by 2, 126 to 124. For the Jazz, Markkanen was really good. We know he's really good. We're worried about that shutdown. But if you drafted him, you're going to get nights like this for the first few months. Walker Kessler, this is what we wanted from Walker Kessler last season. We didn't get it. Fingers crossed this is going to stick. I see no reason why it wouldn't. He played 30 minutes. He had 16 and 14 with a steal and 5 blocks. So if you drafted him in... I think he was going in the 70s or the 80s. Numbers like this, he is certainly going to push to be a top 50, top 40 player this season. Keontae George, rough night, 12 points, 7 assists, 3 of 18 from the field and 5 of 9 from the line. So he destroyed your percentages, but the 18 shot attempts were a team high. So I think that's the encouraging number to look at here, that he wasn't afraid to shoot and the team wasn't afraid to have him out there taking those shots. Colin Sexton, 16 points, 3 assists, a steal and a block. We'd like more than 8 shots, certainly. So I think this is probably his floor. I think he's closer to 20 points than 15 points. Once we get going, Jordan Clarkson had 17 and 7 off the bench. And then beyond that, I mean, John Collins, sure, if you want to roster him, but if he's only going to play 18 to 20 minutes a night, this is probably about as good as it gets. He had 11 and 5 with a steal and a block. So he's okay to hold on to, but I would not be prioritizing him. Phoenix and the Clippers. Overtime game. So our first overtime game of the season. For the Suns, again, much like the Bucks, one of the more boring teams. We roster their starting five. Beyond that, I really don't see any value on that bench. Nurkic only played 22 minutes here. He had early foul trouble. And, I mean, one of my pet peeves is when coaches rest players because they're in early foul trouble and then he ends up with only 4 fouls. So you could have played him for another 10 minutes. I know why they do it, but I don't think it's the right move necessarily. Everyone else was good. Tyus Jones, 8 assists, 2 steals. That's why you drafted him. Devin Booker, pretty passive, but still an okay line but not much else to talk about there for the Clippers. Oh, I mean for the Suns, sorry. For Grayson Allen, look, I know he was good last year, but I just don't think the role is there for him this year. So if you draft him, I'd be okay with moving on. For the Clippers, James Harden, 29 and 12, but 12 rebounds, not 12 assists. So, a bit of a surprise there. He did have 8 assists and 8 turnovers. So flirting with that quadruple double. We're going to see nights like this from James Harden. He took 28 shots. Next best was Norm Powell with 16 and Zubats had 13. No one else even came close to 10, really. So, I think Harden, big numbers. Powell, probably his floor here. I think he'll be a 20-point scorer moving forward until Kawhi is back. And we did get word, if anyone didn't hear that earlier today, that Kawhi could or is slated to, no confirmation, but could miss multiple weeks with this knee injury. So great injury reporting there from the Clippers when they were talking about him being ready for opening night, and he is, in fact, weeks away. So, hopefully you didn't draft Kawhi, and if you did, hopefully just keep him in your IR spot. Outside of those guys, Kevin Porter and Chris Dunn are probably the other two that we want to talk about, and it would appear as though they're both going to be in the rotation, and I think they will just go with whoever has the hot hand or whoever is impacting the game. Tonight it was Chris Dunn a little bit more with his defensive stuff, but in the next game it might be that Kevin Porter comes out and hits his first 3 threes and he ends up playing 26 minutes and Dunn plays 12 or something. So I think both can be rostered, but it's going to be pretty inconsistent. And final game, I think this is the final game, pretty sure it is, Golden State and Portland, probably not surprisingly, a blowout victory for the Warriors over Portland. It's going to be a very long season, I think, for Blazers fans, meaning the minutes were really all over the place here for the Warriors guys. Kuminga, 20 minutes, he had 10 and 4, far from ideal, but I'd almost just scratch this game off and not worry about it. Trayce Jackson-Davis started. I think that's probably the biggest takeaway here. He had 14 and 4 with a steal on 5 of 5 from the field. So if you drafted him, some points, probably not as many rebounds as we'd like to see, but good enough. I think Steph Curry flirted with a triple-double in his 25 minutes. Andrew Wiggins started over Brandon Podziemski. I thought Wiggins looked pretty good. He had 20 points, but do remember this was against the Blazers. So if you drafted him, you have to be really happy, but I wouldn't be celebrating just yet. I'd give it another few games. As for those bench guys, Podziemski did play a bench high 25 minutes, but failed to score. So 7 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal. Those numbers are okay, but he only took 5 shot attempts. So he was talking about the team wanting him to take 10 threes and he was going to be this big offensive option. It doesn't appear to be the case, at least based on what we saw here. DeAnthony Melton had 10 points, 4 assists, but the 3 steals, that's why you drafted him. So if you did, ideally you'd like to see him closer to 25 minutes than 20, but if you can get 3 steals from him and a handful of assists with 2 threes, I think you have to be pretty happy with that. Buddy Hield had 22 points, 5 triples off the bench as well in 15 minutes, and again, Blazers. So a bit of an asterisk next to that performance for the Blazers. Jeremy Grant played. That's always a good thing. He didn't look fantastic, but he didn't look terrible. I didn't draft him. If you did, look, I mean, wait for him to put together a week of really strong performances and try and trade him, but I don't know if anyone's biting on that. Tamani Kamara, I thought, looked pretty good. I streamed him in a couple of leagues. If he's going to play 30 minutes, I think he probably has back-end value if there's no one better on your waivers. But he had 11 and 6 with 4 assists and 2 steals. I think he's okay to roster. DeAndre Ayton didn't look super engaged, 10 and 11 with 2 steals. We know what Ayton is and that he doesn't really care. So, again, not someone I typically draft. I might have got him in one league, but yeah, this is what we're going to get from him. Denny Avdija, I thought, looked really good, though. 15 and 7 with 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. I wouldn't be surprised if he's their most consistent performer just across the board for a lot of the season. I don't think he'll have the highs that we get from like an Anthony Simons or even a DeAndre Ayton or Jeremy Grant. But I think if we look at consistent production, he might be number one. Scoot Henderson came off the bench as expected. 22 points, 4 assists, which that's what we're going to get from him. I thought the 2 turnovers, he protected the ball quite well. Missed all his threes, 7 of 18 from the field, but again, we know what he is. Donovan Klingon only played 13 minutes with 2 points and a steal and a block. Not worth rostering, I don't think, in 12s at all. And that is the last game, and we did finish on time. So 39 minutes and 24 seconds. So we did finish very good. We'll be back tomorrow, as I said, rolling this show out from Tuesday to Saturday, so should be back at the same time tomorrow. I didn't do it at the top, but I'll do it now. If you are following, watching along on Twitter or on YouTube, rate, like, subscribe, follow, all of that stuff. If you are watching on Twitter, if you could jump over to our YouTube channel and just subscribe and thumbs up and all of that stuff, because YouTube is where that's what counts for us in terms of eventually making some revenue or something from this. At the moment, we don't. And look, that's okay, but it's always nice to get something. So if you could jump over to YouTube and just spend 15 seconds doing that, that would be really appreciated. That will do for today's show. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.